A human skull emerges from the muddy banks of the Thames, setting Detective Inspector Samuel Owusu on a trail leading to 16 Cheyne Walk, a Chelsea mansion with secrets buried deeper than the bones themselves. The remains belong to Bertie Dunlop Evers, a violinist who vanished in 1996, around the time of an apparent suicide pact at that very address. But why were her remains wrapped in expensive towels and only recently disposed of after decades in hiding? And what connection does this have to Libby Jones, who recently inherited the property and seems to be concealing crucial information? The mansion's walls have witnessed unspeakable acts, psychological manipulation, sexual abuse, and murder, all hidden beneath a veneer of wealth and respectability. As Samuel methodically builds his case, he discovers plant evidence matching foliage found on the bones and the chilling message, "I am Finn," scratched into a skirting board. Every clue points to a family fractured by trauma, yet bound by secrets that refuse to stay buried. When money trails lead from Libby's accounts to individuals named Marie Carone and Phineas Thompson, Samuel realizes he's not investigating one crime, but unraveling a complex web of deception spanning decades. The mansion isn't just a crime scene, it's the epicenter of generational trauma that continues to claim victims long after the original perpetrators have gone. Rachel Gold first meets Michael Rimmer at a Martha's Vineyard pharmacy while buying the morning after pill. When he reappears at her London gallery opening months later, she mistakes his obsession for destiny and charm for character. Their relationship accelerates rapidly. Lavish gifts, European trips, and a proposal after just 4 months during a Positano dinner. In Bali on their honeymoon, Michael's facade cracks when Rachel suggests something new intimately. His charm vanishes as he cruelly calls her damaged goods and compares her to his ex-wife Lucy. As Rachel's jewelry design career thrives, Michael becomes increasingly controlling, monitoring her communications, manipulating finances, and isolating her from friends. The relationship ends after he sexually assaults her in her sleep. Rachel discovers Michael's deceptions, blackmailing her father, running illegal operations through an import business, and leaving traumatized women in his wake. When she confronts him at his Antibes villa, she finds Michael's body being disposed of by Lucy, his first wife, whom Rachel had unknowingly befriended. Henry Lamb embodies success. Inherited wealth, prestigious medical career, immaculate Harley Street apartment. Yet beneath this facade lies a decades-long obsession with finding Phineas Thompson. When Henry discovers Finn working as a safari guide in Botswana under an alias, his world crumbles. Learning that Finn vanished before Henry's niece Libby, actually Finn's biological daughter, was to visit, ignites an all-consuming quest. His pursuit leads to Chicago, where, as Joshua Harris, he manipulates anyone connected to his target. Through motorcycle guide Chris Dahl, Henry inches closer while revealing disturbing fragments of their shared past. Their history began at 16 Cheyne Walk, where Henry's parents ran a psychological cult. Young Henry's fixation with Finn turned violent, nearly drowning him, binding him to a radiator, creating trauma that shaped both lives. When Henry finally confronts Finn in Chicago's winter landscape, decades of tension collide, revealing his disturbing obsession isn't love or hatred, but possession. Lucy Lamb lives in constant motion, protecting children Marco and Stella from perceived dangers. After years of temporary housing, her parents' trust fund finally provides stability, a weathered Victorian vicarage outside St. Albans, representing the roots her family never had. Lucy's childhood ended when Bertie and David Thompson groomed her at 13, resulting in her pregnancy with Libby. Being forced to surrender her baby shaped her future decisions, manifesting as fierce protection of her children and fear of authority. When Henry disappears to Chicago, Lucy follows despite terrible timing. Police have reopened their investigation into Bertie's death, potentially exposing her marriage to Michael Rimmer, whose abuse she fled with Marco. At Michael's villa, he attacked and raped Lucy while she retrieved passports. In the struggle, she killed him in self-defense, witnessed afterward by Rachel, who helped conceal the death. Despite elaborate privacy measures, Lucy creates a loving home. The novel's most poignant moment is her reunion with Libby, representing Lucy's ability to reclaim pieces of her stolen youth while moving forward. As Samuel's investigation deepens, Birdie Dunlop Evers' public image crumbles, revealing a pattern of psychological manipulation stemming from her obsession with childlessness. Evidence shows Birdie positioned herself as Lucy's confidant while enabling David Thompson's inappropriate behavior. She controlled Lucy's healthcare, restricted medical access, and isolated her from support. When Lucy became pregnant at 15, Birdie feigned protection while pursuing her own agenda. The Chelsea residence at 16 Cheyne Walk masked significant trauma. Under Birdie's influence, the house became a controlled environment where she employed psychological manipulation, alternating intimidation with conditional kindness to maintain power. After Libby's birth, Birdie and David undermined Lucy's parental role, positioning themselves as the child's rightful guardians. When Lucy tried to assert her rights, she faced threats and baseless questions about her stability. The investigation reveals Birdie died during a confrontation, her remains hidden until Henry relocated them when Libby inherited the property. Justin Ugly claimed responsibility for Birdie's 1994 death, but Samuel identified discrepancies and closed the case to prevent further trauma. Lucy's Victorian vicarage becomes her first true anchor after years of running, its solid structure mirroring her journey towards stability, while renovation provides a tangible way to build her future. When Libby discovers Lucy is her biological mother and Henry her uncle, she embraces her birth family while maintaining bonds with her adoptive parents, demonstrating how love multiplies rather than divides. The most poignant moment comes when Finn finally meets Libby after years of self-exile. Their first encounter in Lucy's half-renovated kitchen perfectly embodies their healing family dynamics, still a work in progress. Rachel and Lucy evolve from suspicious adversaries to close confidants, united by shared trauma from Michael. When French authorities close Michael's case as an organized crime execution, both women find liberation, their private toast to bad things happening to bad people capturing the novel's moral ambiguity. Despite apparent healing for most characters, the epilogue reveals Henry remains fundamentally unchanged. Though he briefly embraces his identity as Henry Lamb and reconciles with Finn, his sense of oneness with the world quickly fades. Restlessness emerges through missed dinners, unanswered calls, and extended absences. His normal facade eventually crumbles. At family gatherings, he discusses implausible travel plans, tells contradictory stories, and demonstrates knowledge of places he shouldn't know. His siblings notice how he studies strangers intently, collecting their mannerisms and speech patterns. In the novel's final disturbing twist, Henry visits a motorcycle showroom, introducing himself as Chris Dahl, suggesting he killed the real Chris in Chicago and stole his identity. His meticulous persona construction is evident through his worn leather jacket, mimicked Midwestern accent, and knowledge of Chicago's motorcycle scene. Some wounds leave permanent damage. Henry, shaped by childhood abuse, has become a perpetrator himself, a family remain continuing the cycle of violence and deception.